sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Oh, well, thank you. Another torpedo loss, and down goes the HMS Beagle. I'm Stan Hudson.
I am John Kurlinski. Welcoming you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a very lighthearted and lightheaded look at the serious issues of creation, evolution, where we came from, where we're going. And we are recording today, John, once again, another program being recorded on the very day of the 200th anniversary of Charles Darwin's birth. And we've already sung happy birthday to him. We won't harm you with that rendition again, but
we
are looking back on the man and his legacy here in Sink the Beagle. And one of the things that we've looked at, there's several aspects of his life we've been looking at and we'll look at in the coming weeks on Sink the Beagle. But one of the things we want to look at today is what rates a fairly large article in Wikipedia and in many journals and studies on the life of Charles Darwin, and that is Charles Darwin's illness.
He was a very sick man, Stan.
Well,
he spent, you know, when you start studying it, we've discovered that Charles Darwin, where did he get all these things? When you start looking mm-hmm. down a list of supposedly diagnostic evidence from his life, from his writings, from his journals, from his wife's journals, you discover that, man, this guy was spent quite a bit of time on his back.
Yes, he did. He spent many months in his bed, often without ceasing there, long periods of time, incapable of a normal life, it says, and leaving him severely debilitated. And
he went to over 20 doctors. Man, I mean, it's hard to find good medical care, I know, under socialistic systems, but Europe wasn't there yet.
Wasn't there yet. Darwin really did suffer, and some of the articles written about Darwin remark as to how productive he was, given how he literally, and he wrote this way about his own life, looking back on it, that he had his illness annihilate years of his life. That's a quote, annihilate years of his mm-hmm. life. So there's no question that he had a problem. And one of the things that's kind of challenging and interesting about Charles Darwin's illness is, frankly, it still stands as a little bit of a mystery, a little bit undiagnosed, because there were quite a few symptoms that he dealt with back in the day, a few. And, of course, he was a complex fellow himself in terms of his own life, his own family, religious views.
All these factors. Mm-hmm. And then they look at all these when you do the study of the article. They do talk about his religion, his family, his, you know, maybe his tour and his trip and the diseases he picked up and diseases he, you know, bought on. Mm-hmm. And actually, they spend actually quite a bit of it, though, interestingly enough, when you go over the list of possible things, is there are quite a few psychic causes, they think, or psychological reasons, psychosomatic illnesses. Mm-hmm. That we definitely say that maybe we'd lump mm-hmm. him under the idea of depression, mm-hmm. you know, a major source of depression. But there's many nuances of it.
Well, let's take a look a little bit at just a bit of the history of some of the moments in his life that seemed to be troublesome for him as a student of medicine. You know, his father was a physician, and he was mostly, in essence, was motherless from age 8 on. His sister, his aunt, or was it his sister? His older sister raised him.
A little bit his aunt as well.
Okay. And in any case, he was without his mother. It was a terrible loss to him. But his father was kind of a very large man, a very domineering, difficult, in some ways, tough man.
And not very sympathetic.
Not sympathetic, lacking the feminine side, maybe, that would have been softer for Darwin. So he always, like many of us men, in fact, maybe most men, are challenged by the idea of pleasing their father, to have a good feel from dad back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even so, though, he just says, constant attacks make life an intolerable bother, stops all work.
Yeah.
That phrase just still overwhelms me when you think about it.
Well, his father was a doctor, and for a while he wanted to be a doctor himself, and it actually started out at school to be one, but it says that he was too sensitive to the sight of blood and the brutality of surgery. So he turned his attention to natural history, and one of the ways you can do that is to qualify for a life of that is to be a clergyman back in the day in England. So he went to Cambridge to become a clergyman. But it says on December 10, 1831, as he waited in Plymouth for the voyage of the HMS Beagle, whom we like to sink weekly here on Sink the Beagle. He suffered from chest pains and heart palpitations, but told no one at the time in case, you know, it kept him from being able to go. So,
on the trip, yeah.
Yeah, so he, you know, he suffered from these kinds of maladies that sounded like there was maybe, you know, some kind of psychosomatic fears or something that caused him problems.
Yeah. Incredibly, he goes on, though. He does go on the Beagle, and his own daughter dies,
mm-hmm.
And he never wants to return to this place in Malvern where she died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's overwhelmed by other factors in life. So you have the death of his mother, you have the death of his daughter,
mm-hmm.
you have this trip he's gone on, been a long time away, and he starts developing the various things that are, you know, start ticking in his brain. It's interesting to go on the list of, you know, things that they say, his symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
He was diagnosed, what they think, with what they call panic disorder, you know, where people all of a sudden just start flipping out. And it may be when they're in bed at night. It could be panic disorder can occur anywhere. I happen to know a person with panic disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, too, had a very troubled childhood. It was quite interesting to this gentleman. He had a very troubled childhood, and he was known to have panic attacks.
Well, I'm speaking to somebody who has also suffered from panic attacks as a child. I remember my first one happened. My father and mother were going through a divorce at the time. Dad was gone. I was probably about 7 years old or so. I remember waking up after some kind of a nap in the house living room, and mom wasn't in the room. I think she was at the next door neighbors or something like that. And I remember waking up and panicking because no one was there.
Yeah.
And there was a tremendous sense of being alone.
Yeah.
So I had troubles with that for some years afterwards. Maybe Darwin had, you know, it's a very unfun experience to go through a panic attack. And
yeah.
Darwin, absolutely. I mean, doctors will agree that the description of some of his symptoms were he had panic attacks.
And that would be very consistent with the loss and the things he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
He also had an interesting one that was kind of funny to me at first. I can relate to it a little bit. I think it's kind of a guy disease. Agoraphobia.
Okay.
Which is sort of the Greek word for markets. Apparently he didn't like to shop. He didn't like to go shopping in the mall.
Oh,
and
no.
Maybe his wife drug him there or something like that one time and made him to go buy the vegetables or something like that. Darwin was afraid of crowds.
Yeah, and that's what the word really means.
Yeah, it's not so much market.
Fear of crowds associated with marketplaces. But and you know, it's unclear. There's some that dispute that because he did go to some large meetings and so on. But, you know, they cite Darwin saying this, declining an invitation. He says, I have long found it impossible to visit anywhere. The novelty and excitement would annihilate me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of tough.
Yeah, the agoraphobia will lead to a panic attack. Just leave me alone.
and so psychosomatic disease, social withdrawal, isolationism may be a result of some kind of organic disease, and they don't know exactly. Hypochondria could be present.
Yes.
Exacerbate some kind of organic disease. He described in great length, in extreme clinical detail, his suffering in his diaries. He went to the extreme of recording daily the volume and quality of his tinnitus. What is that, tinnitus?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Maybe we should have that looked up or something.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell whether some of his most subjective observations were real or imaginary.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, in other words, was he accurate in his description? He's so accurate in his science. You would think, as he was observing himself, he would tend toward accuracy.
Yeah. You know, psychologists, you know, suggest that maybe part of the problem also was in a pedable complex, that Darwin's illness was an expression of sort of a repressed anger with his father.
Mm-hmm.
The physician, of course, we said Robert Darwin, we shared about him before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his dad was a tyrannical kind of father, prevented him from expressing anger toward his father, and then, it's pent up anger.
Yeah.
And so he probably had, you know, rage, road rage, probably. We would probably call it today to a degree. Only this is applied to his relationship with his father, unrepressed.
You know what I wonder a little bit about stuff like that, and this is just the pastoral, you know, amateur psychologist of me coming out, but I'm wondering if he had a problem with his father for surviving when his mother didn't. In other words, did he put any of the burden of the mother's death a little bit at the father's doorstep?
That could be.
If he was a tough
guy,
I wonder.
He wasn't there, and maybe he wasn't home.
Yeah, maybe he made it tough on mom, and maybe, you know, I don't know.
If he's a physician, why did mom die?
A lot of these kind of things.
Yeah. And he wrote about his father. He says, he was just a little unjust to me when I was young, but afterwards I'm thankful to think that I became a prime favorite with him. So mm-hmm. apparently he is relating to his early years, mm-hmm. and I think he was being polite to mm-hmm. his dad. But some say that, you know, there was probably more tension there displayed.
But taking a look, in a similar diagnosis, an English psychiatrist, Dr. Rankin Gold, stated, thus, if Darwin did not slay his father in the flesh, then he certainly slew the heavenly father in the realm of natural history, suffering from his unconscious patricide, which accounted for almost 40 years of severe and crippling neurotic suffering.
Wow.
So, you know, he may have been taking out some feelings about his dad on his view of God the Father.
Yes. If you don't have, it's really hard for people who have a negative view of their dad as a father to ever put the Father in heaven, the biblical concept of God, in a real positive realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so Darwin seems to go from, they have Chagas disease, they list all other kinds of diseases.
Explain some of it, but not everything.
Yeah,
you know.
And it seems like his whole life is just burdened. He doesn't mm-hmm. rest well, he doesn't sleep well, mm-hmm. he stays in beds for weeks and months at a time, and mm-hmm. and the reality is that what Darwin really probably needed more than anything else was to discover the joy of peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Darwin, if he has a kind of a panic attack or separation anxiety because of loss, some suggest that it may have because of all the losses of his daughter and his mother and stuff at early ages, maybe he suffers sort of also a separation anxiety.
I think so.
And maybe the ultimate separation anxiety is not being connected to God. And when you'd kind of when you cut the ropes that moor you to God and you have no, you're just adrift, life, it becomes meaningless.
It does.
And the depression that sets in is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I think when Nietzsche takes Darwinism and naturalism to its philosophical conclusion, Darwin experienced all of what probably Nietzsche wrote about as he lays in his bed and is just in this depressed state.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how powerful the emotion of loneliness can be. And again, my panic attack was caused by a sense of overwhelming sense of being alone.
And separated
and gone. And I'm it, you know, no one's there for me and I'm on my own, you know. And even as a child, that's a very frightening thing. It would be frightening for anybody at any stage in life. And if your philosophical view of reality includes you are basically alone. I mean, when it really comes down to it, you are it. That's all there is. And nothing is after you, nothing bigger, nothing more loving, nothing there to be with you. No companion, you know. And it's interesting.
We have a torpedo text mm-hmm. for those who have, like Darwin, no rest of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the words of Jesus found in Matthew 10. Read our text for us, would you, Stan?
Yeah, and it says, verse 28 of chapter 11 of Matthew, it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
What a precious promise God gives to us that mm-hmm. We can find rest for our souls in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have to carry the weight of the world, the burdens, the pains.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to take those pains.
And we don't want to say that Darwin was strictly dealing with all of this from a separation from God, but as pastors and as people who have found peace with God, we wonder if that wasn't a significant part of his problem.
And for people who have ministered mm-hmm. with people with pain, we know that the people who with pain come to God do find their burdens released. And maybe that's what you can find, and we hope that's your case. So tune in again. We'll talk about Darwin and his life in another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.